Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lentz, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our church when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's the conclusion of Pastor Michael's first teaching in the book of Jonah called Jonah's Storm.
The interesting thing is that in this story, the storm didn't just hit Jonah. There were other people that it affected, the sailors. And sometimes we are disobedient to God and a storm comes, but other people are involved in our storm. And sometimes they start to look at us and say, why are you here again? What are you doing here? Where are you from? Right? See, Jonah had not escaped God's notice. And though these were experienced sailors, some believe Phoenician, but from the language we'll talk about in a moment, probably men from different nations and cultures and locations, the sailors, experienced as they were, verse 5, became afraid. And every man, would you note it, cried to his God. Notice in your Bible that God there is small g. But have you ever noticed, the old saying is that there's no atheist in foxholes. When bullets are flying over you, everybody cries out to God. But there's also apparently no atheists on ships that are breaking apart. Everybody started to cry out to his God. Oh God, whichever one of you is the right one out there, help! And these guys are crying out. And they threw the cargo. Possessions mean very little when stuff like this is happening, right? They threw the cargo, which was in the ship, verse 5, middle of the verse, into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah, by contrast to the men who are pagans, they're praying. Jonah had gone below. There he is going down again into the hold of the ship. He had lain down and he had fallen sound asleep. I think the Septuagint, I was reading one commentary that said the Septuagint says the implication here is that he was snoring or he was in a very deep sleep. I don't know if he was in a deep sleep because of his own tiredness in terms of his rebellion, or if he thought, oh, finally, I'm away from God, I can rest. There he is. But the storm is raging, and people are crying out, and Jonah is asleep, and I remember a Muslim terrorist who's been born again to Christianity speaking at a Calvary Chapel in Chino and saying to America, you know what, America? When 9/11 happened, you woke up, you looked around, and you hit the snooze button. And you've gone back to sleep. He said, kids in your culture know more about SpongeBob, this is his words, than they do know about the Bible. And he's looking at our culture and saying, it is sad that you guys are not waking up. And there's Jonah sleeping. So the captain approached him and said, I mean, maybe his God's the right God, right? How is it that you're sleeping? Get up and call on your God. Perhaps your God, notice this, will be concerned about us so that we will not perish. Do you remember when Moses brought the word to the people of Israel when they were there in Egypt? And Moses and Aaron communicated how God was concerned about them. And when they heard that God cared about them after hundreds and hundreds of years of taskmasters and slavery and the mud pits, all the people bowed down and they worshiped God. And they realized in that moment, God cares about us. And Moses and Aaron said, yeah, that's why we're here. He sent us because he cares about you. And Jonah's sleeping. And each man said to his mate, come, let us cast lots. So we may learn, this apparently was an ancient practice even among pagans, on whose account this calamity has struck us. Do you think they know the reason for the storm? They see it as a divine punishment. And so they cast lots, and there the lot fell, 7, on Jonah. You ever been there holding the short stick? The camera pans to you. What are you doing here? Right? They said to him, tell us now, they begin to grill him, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? What do you do for a living? Where'd you come from? What's your country? What people are you from? They begin to interrogate Jonah. And he said to them, I'm a Hebrew. I'm of the Lord's covenant people. And of course, everybody had heard of the exploits of the Hebrew God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm part of that covenant, 9. And I fear the Lord God of heaven. Who made what? the sea, what's happening now? A storm. And the dry land. Does he fear him? Have you ever noticed that sometimes our words contradict our actions? Here's Jonah running the opposite way, away from God, and when he's confronted, the first thing he says is, in essence, I'm a Christian. Oh, really? What are you doing on this ship again? Running from God? Oh. Oh, brothers and sisters, I've got so much for you. And I'm running out of time. You want me to keep going? All God's people said?
Amen.
All right. I want to show you some psalms. Go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. This is just, it's too good. I planned on doing the whole chapter. We'll see if I make it. Psalm 33. Look at this. Verse 6. Psalm 33, 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Remember Jonah said he made the sea and the dry land? By the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. Psalm 33, 7. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. Psalm 33, 7. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Turn to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, look at verse 3. Psalm 95, 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. Psalm 95, 4. And whose hand are the depths of the earth? The peaks of the mountains are also his. Psalm 95, 5. The sea is his, for it is he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Go to Psalm 135. Psalm 135, look at verse 5. For I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. In heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all deeps. And finally, Psalm 146. Look at verse 1. Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Psalm 146, 3. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. Please turn back to Jonah. Jonah says, my God made this sea that he's now rustling up. He's in control. He's the God who made it all. He's the creator. He's the one and the only one. And so verse 10, back in Jonah 1, the men became extremely frightened and they said to him, how could you do this? Jonah 1:10, middle of the verse, for the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told him. At least Jonah is honest. Why are you here? Well, I'm fleeing from my God. You ever been in a place like that? People begin to look at you, they know your Christian story and they say, why are you here? What are you doing? I'm fleeing from my God. Sometimes unbelievers know that we're in the wrong place at the wrong time and they set us straight. And the pagans are trying to set the prophet straight. And so they said to him, what should we do to you? Have you ever said this to your children? All right, we know you stole the cookie. The evidence is all over your face. I didn't steal the cookie. Yeah, you did. There it is. Right? What should we do to you? You ever done this before? And then, refreshingly enough, they want a punishment that is far more severe than you would have done. They say, make me walk the plank, Daddy. What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us? Notice they're not that noble of men. We're willing to sacrifice you if we need to. And the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. Maybe that's some of you, I don't know. And he said to them, pick me up. Notice this, and throw me into the sea, Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. It's me. I'm the one. Throw me overboard. Make me walk the plank. I'm the one. Things will become calm. Jonah, brothers and sisters, has resigned himself to die. There are many stories in the Bible we've come across where men and prophets and believers finally at some point say, Lord, just kill me. It's too hard. I can't do it. I can't obey you. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to walk the plank. But God was not through with Jonah. And he's not through with you. And if you have thoughts like that going through your head right now, those are not of the Lord.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hi, I'm Rob Newton, Program Director of Walk in Truth. Each week, I work alongside our host, Mike Massaro, editor Jared, and Pastor Michael to take his sermons and turn them into inspiring radio and podcast episodes. From writing scripts, recording, to editing, to mixing with music and announcements, we carefully craft each episode to reach listeners like you. This month, I want to invite you to be part of something powerful. By becoming a Walk in Truth partner for just $40 a month, you can help us continue broadcasting Pastor Michael's teachings to listeners seeking hope and encouragement on Kept FM in the Bay Area. In November, we set a goal of 40 new financial partners to help us broadcast in San Diego, and those 40 partners stepped up quickly. Thank you so much to all our new partners. If you're like many who connect deeply through audiobooks, radio, or podcasts, you know the impact these messages can have. Maybe you can help us reach more people? Check out Paul's story.
So it's 2019, right before COVID. I'm driving to Orange County Airport, 4 in the morning. Turn on the radio, it's on 99.5 FM. And I hear this pastor speak the word of God like I've never heard spoken. So I call my bride, wake her up, it's 4 in the morning, and said, hey, do a search on Pastor Michael Lance at Living Truth. Because I think we're going to move wherever this church is. It's probably going to be in the Midwest or in the South somewhere. So I fly into Chicago a few hours later, give my bride a call and say, hey, where's Michael Lance located? She says, Corona. And I said, where's that? She said, Paul, it's Corona, California, where we've been living for 16 years, right down the road. That was 5 years ago. And my family and I are deeply involved here at Living Truth and with all of you. And the Lord's really transforming my family and I. And I believe that Pastor Michael teaches the Word of God so you can understand it and apply it with a love of Jesus. And I think it's wild how listening to a radio station for just a few minutes can actually change your life.
To show our gratitude, we'll send you a free copy of Pastor Michael's newly released book, Oh My Soul, March On With Strength, for your one-time or recurring donation of $40 or more. But a partnership is definitely appreciated. Visit walkintruth.com today and click donate. That's walkintruth.com, walkintruth.com, and thank you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance, right here on Walk in Truth.
God was not through with Jonah, and he's not through with you. You may be facing some storms right now. Some of them may be of your own making. Some of them may just be because life is that way. But don't you give up. That's a word that's in my notes for someone, or maybe many of you in this room today. So the men, noble as they were, rowed desperately, 13, and to return to the land, but they could not. They were fighting against God, and that's always a losing battle. For the sea was becoming even stormier against them. They tried, and then they called on the Lord. Notice they're not calling to their pagan gods anymore. They know who's in control. And they said, we earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. And do not put his innocent blood on us. They know that there's something radical going on here. For thou, O Lord, notice what they say, has done as thou hast pleased. Boy, they sound like believers. The only one who hasn't prayed yet is Jonah. The pagans have been praying the whole trip. Jonah's been sleeping. You ever been there before? You're the one that's supposed to pray. Everybody out around you, shouldn't we pray right now? Aren't you a preacher? Well, yeah. But... So they picked up Jonah, 15. They threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Notice God's control. One more fall downward for Jonah. Down into the ship. Down to Joppa. Down into the sea. And some of the language from chapter 2, some believe that he hit the bottom before he was scooped up by the fish. And then the men feared who? In verse 10, they feared the sea. Now they fear the one they should fear. They feared the Lord greatly, 16. And they offered a sacrifice. They knew God was in control. The sea become stormier and stormier. Now it's become completely calm. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Even in Jonah's disobedience, people apparently are getting saved. Ever been there? You're not doing the right thing. You're not in the right place. And God saves people anyway because he's God. One plants, another waters, but God brings the increase. And the Lord, 17, appointed, New King James says prepared. The Hebrew word has the idea of calling or assigning. And I get the image in my brain that there's a fish cruising around and he's a big one that day. And all of a sudden the Lord speaks to him and says, change course. Northeast, whatever it is. Right? I've got a job for you today. He had prepared a great fish, 17, to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish. How long? 3 days and three nights. It's interesting. He's running from God. He ends up in a storm. He goes down, down, down. He's swallowed up. He's in the dark. It's wet, sticky, slimy, gooey, salty, stomach acids, rancid smell of fish. Can it get any worse? Maybe I need to rethink the direction I'm going. Ever been there? Everything around you is crying out to you. You're there in the darkness, and God's saying, hello? Now, this story is not about God judging. This is about God's love. I told you at the beginning that God loves Nineveh and God loved Jonah. If he didn't love him, he would have let him die. The fish is not about judging Jonah. It's about saving Jonah. Amen? Because had he left him out there, he was gone. But the custom-made fish is for Jonah because God loves Jonah. Now, I'm going to talk to you more about the resurrection connection next week. But I'm going to leave you with this. In the early church, you know, I started thinking about the fish. And you guys all know you see the fish on people's cars. And some of you have done a little homework and you've realized that it's called the ichthus. The ichthus is the Greek word for fish, the most common term used for fish. And sometimes you'll see that fish on the back of cars. And we're told from historians that what the early church would do, because there was so much persecution, is when they were having a meeting or they met somebody, they would draw kind of a sideways arc in the sand, and if someone completed it, then that would be a sign that they were also a believer. And that would be a sign that you're one of the ones that's a Christian. So people say, well, that connects perhaps to Jesus calling the disciples to be fishers of men. That connects perhaps to the idea of Jesus multiplying the fish and all those scenes in the Bible. But some people believe that that sign may tie back to Jonah and that it became a symbol in the early church for the hope of the great fish that pointed ultimately to who? To Jesus Christ, who would die, be in the belly of the great fish, if you will, the tomb 3 days and three nights, and come out triumphantly and give hope to mankind. See, this story is about hope. That's what it's about. And some people, you know, in their lives, we all have probably been there. You know, you go through seasons of despair. You go through seasons of storms. You're trying to figure out what's going on. Sometimes you run from God. And you have all these things coming at you, and you're wondering, Lord, what are you doing? But all the while, the Lord has a plan. And his plan is to use you to bring hope to others. And sometimes what we need to do is get a fresh look at hope. And we get that when we see the fish, and we see the story of Jonah, and we realize that God is a God of love. That's why he did all of this, because he loves people. Sometimes people that are unlovable to us. Sometimes people that we've already judged as unworthy of his salvation. God wants to work. And he's calling each one of us. He's calling you and me to be faithful. Wherever he calls you, if he calls you to Nineveh, if he calls you to a neighbor, if he calls you to someone in the store, someone you meet in a hobby, someone in the gym, people are perishing without Christ. And we're supposed to be the vessels that bring that message. We're supposed to be the Jonas who go the right direction and say, Lord, here I am. I don't get it. I don't understand. I may even have some ill will towards these people, but nonetheless, you're God, I'm not. You saved me when I was an enemy of your cross. There may have been some people who looked at you and said, you're not worthy to be a Christian. Ooh, really? Perhaps. There may have been some people praying for you that gave up on you a long time ago and said, never. Too much wickedness. Too much. But God says, I don't give up on people. Amen? Let's pray.
You've been listening to Jonah's Storm, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. And that was Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah, Chapter 1. If you missed any part of today's program, you can listen to Walk in Truth on our free Living Truth app or wherever you get your podcasts. And please help us spread the word about Walk in Truth. Word of mouth is still powerful. Your recommendation to a friend to listen to Walk in Truth on this station is much appreciated. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, are you a runner? I'm not talking about do you run, marathons or run a couple miles a day. That's kind of cool if you do. But, over the years, I've run into some people, no pun intended, who are runners. What does that mean? Well, they land somewhere, but it doesn't take long until they run from a relationship. They run from a job. They run. They run the moment it gets a little bit difficult, the moment it gets a little bit uncomfortable. And that tendency can be a part of many souls because we are flawed human beings, and sometimes it feels like it's easier to run than to face something. Now, usually when you run, like Jonah, you end up just making the problem worse, especially if you're running from God or God's will for your life. And you might be asking, well, what are the practical steps to stop being a runner? What do I do if this is my tendency? Well, I would say the first thing that you can do is make up your mind that you're going to stick with your commitment and you're going to let your yes be yes. And then you're going to have to pass some thresholds where you fight that temptation. And I would call it a real temptation to give up, to run, to, just say it would be easier if I just avoided this conversation or this moment or whatever it is. And sometimes what we do is we make the moment bigger than it needs to be. We can all do that, right? And that's not what God has for you. He wants you to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So I would just say embracing the moment, saying, Lord, I don't have the goods to do this, but I believe that you're going to go before me and you're going to take care of it. I would ask for prayer. I would use these opportunities as opportunities to press into the Lord. I think every time you decide instead of running, I'm going to do God's will, you'll find it'll be another moment of growth for you and strength for you. I hope that's helpful if that's a struggle for you. This is Pastor Michael Lance. You're listening to Walk in Truth, and we're walking through the book of Jonah. What an incredible story it is. I pray you're being blessed by it. And we will look forward to seeing you right here tomorrow as we do part 3 on Jonah's storm. See you then.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast. Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a Walk in Truth monthly partner of at least $40 a month or give a one-time gift. Visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah 2 called Jonah's Song.
Jesus said that he would not give a sign to those who demanded a sign of him, to the evil and adulterous generation that was constantly demanding a sign, though he had given them so many signs, remember? I mean, miracle after miracle, and then they said, Lord, show us a sign from heaven. How many signs do you need? Right? And he said, no sign will be given to this evil and adulterous generation except of the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the sea monster 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Jesus believed Jonah's account was historical. He called Jonah the prophet. And he said, this is the sign.
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.